Now, it's time to talk football with a great man who was with us earlier this week, Phil Moss. Good morning, Mossy.
Good morning, Ryan. You've gone from the great man to the legend in Bulldog. I believe he's sitting in that seat this morning.
Both legends.
Has he lifted the bar?
Well, the bar has been set pretty high all week by Berkey and then yourself, and I think it's been maintained throughout the week.
But it was that low after you, Mossy. I stepped over it.
Hey, Mossy, how would you spend $60 million if you won Powerball?
Oh, I'd look after my family and closest friends first. That's the obvious one, make sure they're debt-free. And then I reckon I might go buy an island or something.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. You wouldn't buy a football club somewhere in the UK or anything like that?
I might dabble. Probably not in the UK. I think Australian football needs financial support more than the UK, so I'd probably dabble in a couple of clubs here maybe.
Okay, speaking of Australian football, the Matildas, not a bad result during the week, was it? All things considered, that 1-1 draw with Portugal.
Yeah, I was in the studio that morning with you and Jamie, and we were sort of keeping an eye on it. And look, in the final wash-up, the Matildas were lucky to survive to half-time scoreless. Portugal were quite sloppy in front of goal, but then they did well. And you know, credit to them, the Portugal goal was offside. I've got no doubt about that. So in the end, probably unlucky not to win 1-0 with a solid second half. But there's a lot of fallout from these two games against Spain and Portugal. I saw the Sydney FC A-League women's coach Ante Juric take the social media yesterday and have a shot at the Matilda staff because three or four Sydney FC players have come back injured, one with an ACL, which is not great. And I guess what it comes down to is, were those players, a lot of them taking the field from NPL football, which is National Premier League, not even A-League football, were they physically and mentally ready for the challenges of a Spain and a Portugal who are preparing for the Euros to kick off next week, which we'll talk about in a moment. But there's not a great feeling. That the goodwill around the Matildas seems to just be teetering at the moment, given what's happening in the pointy end of the lead up to hosting the World Cup next year.
Well, one positive story is Mary Fowler, who's made a massive move to Man City.
Jamie, this is fantastic news. This really is. I mean, this is right up there with the sort of news of, our golden generation signing in the English Premier League. Because Mary Fowler is being touted, and rightfully so, as one of the most exciting talents in world football, world women's football. And you'll remember she made her debut for the Matildas at just the age of 15. She's spent time over in France. I saw the interview she did with Mark Schwarzer. And this girl is so articulate and so deep in her thinking around the love for the game and what it should look like. And she chose this move very carefully. She could probably have gone just about anywhere. She chose Manchester City because the style of football they play, the size of the club, the expectation on them to win everything that they play in. There's also a couple of other Aussies there, in Alana Kennedy and Hayley Russo, which I think is absolutely massive for our World Cup chances next year to have those three players playing together week in, week out. So this is a huge move. She signed for 4 years, and I'm sure everyone in Australian football wishes her all the very best with that.
Mossy, I was just interested in what you said a few moments ago. The love we have for the Matildas is teetering. Just elaborate on that in terms of what?
Well, I mean, if you look at Tony Gustafsson's record since he took over, it's not flash. He's conceded. Put it this way, if the shoe was on the other foot and that was the Socceroos coach, they'd be hung and drawn for the results that Tony Gustafsson's had. And I'm not just talking about Graham Arvell. I'm talking about any Socceroos coach, particularly an Australian. We are in the pointy end now, Bulldog, of heading into a home World Cup. This machine should be a lot better oiled than what it is at this stage. And I know we've had our star players having a rest during this most recent camp, and rightfully so. It's the only chance they'll get to have a rest, the ones that have been toiling hard over in Europe. But just to take on Spain and Portugal in that sort of camp with those sort of players missing, I just don't get the logic of it. There's a lot of noise starting to swirl around, do we need a change in the Matilda setup. They certainly have regressed since Alan Stajic was controversially sacked a few years ago. There's no doubt they haven't gone forward, they've gone backwards. And we can't afford to do that. We've got a group of players in the Matildas that is akin to the golden generation of Socceroos back in 2005-06, playing at the top level in Europe, not just club football, but Champions League football as well. We need someone who's really going to get them in tip-top shape for this World Cup, because we need to go deep, deep into that tournament.
Mossy, we're about a month away from the English Premier League kicking off again. What are some names that we're hearing as far as signings are concerned ahead of the season? There's suggestions that Neymar could potentially go to the EPL.
Oh, how good would that be, Ryan? Seeing Neymar in the number 10 shirt at Newcastle United. So they've offered him not just a contract, of course, but the number 10 shirt, which we know is so dear to his heart. He's at PSG at the moment, of course, with the likes of Messi and Mbappe. So, you know, tearing him away from there might be difficult, but you never know. Stranger things have happened, and Newcastle have got a lot of money behind them now with the new ownership. So I'd personally love to see him in the English Premier League. I think that would be a really good signing, for not just for Newcastle, but for the league. And there's other ones. You know, we've seen Arland arrive at Man City. We've seen Nunes arrive at Liverpool. Unfortunately, Mane's gone from Liverpool. But yeah, there are so many comings and goings. It looks like Richarlison will leave Everton and land at Tottenham. So seeing Richarlison with the likes of Harry Kane and Son, I think, would be a fantastic front line there. So a lot of stuff happening, and I think kickoff is August 6th, so not far away now.
Mossy, what about some of the Aussies that are on the move? I know when you were on the show on Wednesday, we were talking about Tom Rogic, Martin Boyle, who were currently clubless. Any updates?
Well, not yet. The uncertainty around Tommy Rogic remains. He knocked back that big Indonesian deal with Persija Jakarta, reportedly, by the way. I don't know. I haven't spoken to him. But be interesting to see where he lands. I hope, for his sake, the Socceroos' sake, that he stays in Europe. And then, of course, he's got to thrash out where he stands with the Socceroos with Graham Arnold after pulling out of that last camp. But I think Martin Boyle, his club in Saudi Arabia, was relegated the other day, so I think he'll end up back in Europe, which I think is a positive for the Socceroos' World Cup chances. And you got the likes of Masalawongo. Do you remember him? He hasn't played for Socceroos since 2019. But he's left Sheffield Wednesday, and they put out a statement saying he'd knocked back a renewed contract offer. And he went on social media and said, "Have I?" with two question marks and a very confused emoji face. So, well, watch that space. But the big news really is Trent Sainsbury, who's in Belgium at the moment. He could be heading to a Qatari club, Al Wakra, from Belgium. And that would be, look, the league's not as strong, of course, but getting used to those conditions where the World Cup is going to be held could be a bonus for us.
Mossy, the Women's Euros kick off next week, I believe?
They do, Bulldog. It's a massive tournament. The 13th edition of the Women's Euros kicks off on the 6th of July, runs through to the end of July 31st. The last winners are the Netherlands. Favourites probably going to this one, if our listeners are looking for a little bit of a dabble, would be Spain. But I've got dark horses in Denmark and maybe England, who are hosting the Euros. England have been incredible in their lead-up. 47 goals for and only one against in six lead-up games, including a 20-0 thrashing of Latvia, 10-0 thrashing of North Macedonia. But question mark is, have they faced enough adversity going into these Euros? So that is the big question. But I would be having a little dabble on Spain as the favourites, but maybe an even bigger dabble on Denmark. And we saw those two in action recently as well. Spain looking ominous going into these titles.
Okay, so just I had those matches up. They were obviously favourite in those matches, but you're obviously talking to win the whole thing there, Mossy, are you?
Yeah, to win the whole thing.
So Spain are 350, and who was the other one you mentioned?
Denmark.
Denmark are $26. There you go.
I think they're ranked about sixth or seventh in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
There's talk that they are in great form going into these Euros, and they're just a smoky.
That might be a nice little play, maybe a primary on Spain and a little saver on Denmark. So if you're having a $50, maybe put $40 on Spain and $10 on Denmark. Might be a nice way to play. All right, Mossy, thanks again for this week, and always great to talk to you on the Big Sports Breakfast. You have a great weekend.
You too, Ryan, and well done to you and Jamie for holding the fort. You've raised the bar as always.